Good morning. Today is not only the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, but normally would also be the Feast of the Holy Rosary, or Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. And if you're like many of us here, we grew up cradle Catholic, we grew up praying our rosary and knowing how to pray it well, but not necessarily knowing why we pray it or its origins. And the origins of the rosary actually begin back in the 3rd to 4th century AD. At that time, both in Eastern and Western religions of all kinds, they began to use prayer beads as a means of helping them to pray. And at that time in the Christian faith, the popular prayer was what is called the Jesus Prayer. For those of you who don't know it or know it by that name, it simply says, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And they would use that prayer over and over on beads. Why beads? Because in our Catholic faith, we learn, and it's probably most evident in the Catholic faith, that we need physical things to help us to engage spiritual things. I've talked about this before, right? The essence of a sacrament is it is an outward sign of an inward reality. For instance, I wear green today to represent ordinary time. We have a crucifix to represent our Savior who died on the cross for us, candles to remember us that we are to be a light to the world, and all these physical things to denote spiritual realities. Sometimes we need physical things to engage us in prayer too. That's why we take a different posture a lot of times when we pray. Most of you will kneel today during the consecration. Many of you fold your hands like this, pointing to heaven, because as we know from Mrs. Dooling in fourth grade, your prayers go more directly to heaven when they're pointed that way, right? And we use these postures, these physical things, to help us to pray. And I know I've had those times when I start praying, saying Our Father, and I just keep repeating it in my head, and like half an hour later, I find I'm still doing it, but I'm thinking of something totally other than the prayer. And it can really help when you grab those beads to concentrate on what you're praying, to have something in your hand to remind you, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this purposefully, not purposelessly. And over time, as people began more educated and as the Christian faith developed, this developed into the recitation of Pater Nosters. Now, any of you who had Latin in high school, some of you who are a little older, or anybody who had Latin otherwise, know that the Pater Noster is what? The Our Father in Latin. Remember, Latin's the language of the church, and people would pray in the language of the whole church throughout the whole world, that the guy on the other side of the world was saying the same thing that the guy on this side of the world was saying was the really neat part about that language. And they would recite Our Fathers. We celebrated St. Francis this past week on October 4th, my favorite saint. And he taught his first friars, who were generally uneducated, he taught them simply to recite Our Fathers on a set of beads. And this is kind of how the origins of the rosary came about. People then began to pray other things on this set of beads, this set of Pater Nosters. They would begin to embellish it and add other prayers. And before long, they were praying the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. Now, it's important to understand, especially as Catholics, because we're criticized often for praying our rosaries as something almost anti-Christian. A lot of non-Catholic Christians will look at the rosary and say, well, what are you doing praying to Mary? You know, that somehow those beads are something outside the Bible. But if you look at the prayers of the rosary, they come from the Bible. The Our Father, the Hail Mary being the greeting of Elizabeth at the visitation when Mary came to visit her. The Glory Be coming directly from Scripture. And so these prayers are very scriptural. And right about that time when St. Francis and St. Dominic were contemporaries, this is about the 13th century, is when the rosary began to really develop. And it developed around meditations of the life of Jesus and Mary. And guys, I think we really got to get back to that. If the rosary isn't really meaningful for you, this is where you're going to start to find meaning. Because what they would do is they wouldn't just rattle off a bunch of prayers. They would be meditating, actively meditating on the life of Jesus and Mary. Some of you, how many of you here have ever prayed a scriptural rosary? A scriptural rosary. Decent number of you. And that's where you have a little reading from scripture that goes with either each decade or even maybe even each bead to help you meditate on the life of Jesus. There are other rosaries that are come in little books, and you read little meditations that go along with the mysteries. You see, we're not supposed to be just rattling off prayers in the back of our mind, but engaging the mysteries and the life of Jesus Christ. St. Dominic, I mentioned him, he's often credited with the development of the rosary, and we don't know where he fits in exactly historically, but we know that he did a lot to promote it and that it became very popular in the church. So popular that in 1571, as the Muslims were overrunning Europe and a great naval battle was about to take place on the Mediterranean Sea, the Pope at the time implored the whole Catholic Church, and this is one of the first times we see evidence of the whole Catholic Church being asked to pray the rosary for the victory in that battle. And we needed divine help because we were vastly outnumbered by the Muslims, and they were overrunning Christians, killing Christians, and threatening the Christian religion. The church took up the rosary, prayed it, and we won a great victory of the Battle of Lepanto, a great naval battle in 1571. And as a result, the Pope at the time declared this day, October 7th, 1571, and every October 7th after that, a day in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary, who her intercession helped bring about that victory. Now, it's important to understand that the rosary and any prayer to Mary is a prayer of intercession, much like I might ask you to pray for me, you know, to pray for me, say, as your pastor or with a particular concern I have, and that you then go to God and pray. Now, does it mean that you had the power to move God's heart? Well, no. God moves his own heart, right? But interceding for one another can be very powerful, both for us as intercessors, for the person asking the prayer. And we know that God hears and answers, and he's faithful to those prayers. And let me ask you this. Who, out of all the human beings in the world, would have the most intercession, or perhaps the most intimate intercession, than the woman who carried Jesus Christ in her womb for 40 weeks? And that is Mary. And that's why we go to Mary for a particular gift of intercession. For anything, whether it be a great naval battle, which hopefully none of you will be involved in, or particularly the battles in your own lives, in your own hearts, in your own families. Most of you are probably familiar in this last century with Our Lady of Fatima, who appeared to a group of small children. And she asked for two things in particular in regards to the rosary. She asked for a lot of things. But she two things in particular to the rosary. One was to add what we call the Fatima prayer to the end of each decade. And so we pray the Our Father, the 10 Hail Marys, the Glory Be. And then that little prayer that we say afterwards is what's called the Fatima prayer that she asked us to pray. And those prayers are for souls. Souls that have died, souls awaiting heaven. But she also asked to pray for an end to war. And brothers and sisters, many, many people, and those of you who are older know this because it was passed down well to you, many people took up the rosary at that time for an end to war. And in particular, many people believe that the good, if you want to call it a good end to World War II, at least the victory of the Allied forces, being credited to this prayer for peace and for an end to war. And in particular, I know a lot of people from my parents' generation who were praying the rosary for peace that a third world war wouldn't start. Because many of you who are a little older remember the tensions of the Cold War and the Cuban Missile Crisis. Brothers and sisters, with the rising tensions in the Middle East, the wars going on throughout the world, this is the time that perhaps as a community here at Christ the King, we need to pick up that rosary again and get down on our knees and ask for peace. to implore Our Lady's intercession for an end to war, whether it be in Syria or Egypt or Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan. Brothers and sisters, if that war is in our own homes, with our own spouse or between our children, today, on this feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, I ask you to pick up that instrument of prayer, once again, the Holy Rosary, and to ask Our Lady to intercede for us for peace on earth.